we need your help, Starbox.
I'd help, but there's something wrong with my G diffuser.
Got it. Andross won't have his way with me.
Mitochlorians, or whatever you're talking about before.
Beatles references.
Beatles?
Yeah.
Mitochlorians.
The guy who says we need your help, Star Fox, is named Sergeant Pepper.
Oh.
I get right. It now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are there more Beatles references in Star Fox?
There's probably a few. I don't remember them offhand.
Huh.
I just remember that exchange because it always sounds like a vague reference to rape.
Oh, no.
He won't have his way with me.
Oh.
Oh.
And now this is ruined.
It's February 11th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 66 of Nitro Beer Free to Play, the Valentine's Day edition, sort of. I am Brian Belita, and I am almost always wearing business socks. I'm joined by Imran Khan.
Audience, will you be my Valentine? What do you mean, no? Fuck this, I'm getting a fedora.
You mean a trilby?
Are they different?
Yeah, yes. Most people say fedora, but what they're actually wearing is a trilby.
Trilby sounds like a Pokemon.
It does. Yeah. And Matt Pierce.
I'm happy about that because I have a fedora. And I like my fedora. But
that word is forever ruined now.
Well, the thing is, I have a fedora, and it goes really well with my, like, navy pea coat. So it's this kind of classic look, but the problem is that fedoras were ruined forever, and now they're unruined, so that's cool.
God, so many bad fedora images.
Well, my fedora looks like the classic, like, 1930s fedora. It doesn't look like a hipster, like, wool, or what do they wear? They wear, like,
Humphrey
canvas Bo- or, like, super wide weave.
Also, they probably have a cape.
I've seen a lot of kids walking around with, like, tails. Like young kids walking around with a fuzzy raccoon tail that attaches like to their belt or to the back of their pants or whatever.
It's possible something just in the Maryland water.
Yeah.
Oh, you think these are real? These are prehensile tails?
I wouldn't discount the possibility because I've never seen this anywhere else.
I mean, we are in close vicinity to West Virginia.
Wait. Recently?
Don't tell me. Yeah. I mean, within the last week I've seen it. But I remember seeing it,
KatsuCon is this weekend.
I don't know, but I think that maybe like that's an 11-year-old girl.
Okay.
Anyways.
A little too early for KatsuCon.
Maybe? I don't know these days. Maybe parents force KatsuCon upon this person. Anime.
Before it actually starts.
And you know who looks great in fedoras? Babies.
Babies
it's true.
Look
they do look great in hats in general. Mark's not with us tonight, obviously. His power situation is still really, really messed up. So send him kind words of encouragement.
I might randomly disappear because of a power situation.
Yeah, because there's like 40 feet of snow in Atlanta.
Or like 5 inches, but they're calling it the worst storm in decades, which I'm not sure that's actually, like, I've lost the ability to tell when something's actually, like, that's a legitimate statistic.
Yeah.
Or it's just them trying to play it up.
Yeah,
it's probably the worst storm in decades by some metric, but they're not going to tell you the metric.
Yeah. In terms of missing pets.
Well, it might be like the most snowfall you've ever gotten in February in decades,
right.
which is a really narrow metric.
That's a fair point. But yeah, so Mark's not going to, just because we don't want to have to fiddle with like, you know, using his phone to Skype with us, which just ends up. So
that worked better than I thought it would when he first proposed it.
It did. I was surprised, but it still left certain things to be desired. Like he couldn't move without just
the delay. I think I edited that out of the last one.
Right.
There's this point where Mark like for no reason it was like 20-second delays between everything
I don't know.
He heard.
Yeah.
And
well, he was on a Android tablet. So it could just be like Android decided to do something else in the background.
Right, throttled or
like,
something.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go render something in a ray tracer. Be right back.
Thanks, Android.
Android is very much like that. I hate it so much.
Yeah. But so our latest international book club, but that's just not true. That's not what this is. For the latest
it's theoretically international.
Yeah, you guys were all playing My Lat Wars, right?
Oh man. Oh wait. Oh no. See, now you have me thinking of Shadows of Lylat, which was this awesome looking Star Wars fan game that was supposed to drop on computer, but I think it got cease and desisted.
Was 64 called Lylat Wars? Yes, it was.
Yeah, in Europe and Japan.
I thought it was just the SNES game.
Yeah, but yeah, Shadows of Lylat, unfortunately, I think. Oh wait, no. Well, the last update is in July of 2012, so I'm pretty sure it's dead in the water, unfortunately. But anyway, so Imran's pick was Star
Fox. Not my pick.
Matt's pick was Star Fox 64. And we've been playing. How have you guys been playing it?
I played it on 3DS.
Me too.
I played through it once on 3DS again, and then twice on Nintendo 64.
Cool. And I've seen you posting like a bunch of Nintendo 64 stuff, which is
I got it hooked up, I figured I'd play a couple games.
So you actually have one? You actually hooked it up, and no emulator stuff or whatever?
Oh yeah, I still have my launch day Nintendo 64.
Nice, that's awesome.
That my mom bought off the back of a truck.
what game was the video of the bus on top of the White House?
Oh, that's Cruisin' USA.
Cruisin' USA, thank you. That
so the bus is on top of the White House at the end of Cruisin' USA on the N64, partially because they censored something out and partially because you can actually get vehicle upgrades.
What I thought was hilarious is that it's showing this bus, like a school bus, that is yellow at first but then switches to white all of a sudden. But at the bottom it says, like, you unlocked a faster vehicle. And yeah, I'm like, what were you driving before the bus?
No, I was driving the yellow school bus.
Oh,
I unlocked
the white
bus
is faster than the yellow school bus.
Yeah.
Well, okay. As we know, yellow causes drag.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see...
You had something there.
That's why Tails is slower. Yes. All right.
But, yeah, in the arcade version, and this is kind of like one of those things where Nintendo partnered with Midway to promote the Ultra 64. So, like, it had all this Nintendo branding all over it in the arcade, but clearly they never reviewed any of it. So when you get to, first of all, every time you finish a race in first place, you see like this woman in like the tightest t-shirt ever handing you a trophy over and over again. And they did the Mortal Kombat thing where it's all photos turned into sprites.
Right, right.
And then at the end of the game, if you manage to beat the game, it pans into the White House like that, except on top of the White House, there's a pickup truck with a pickup truck hot tub in the back, you know, where someone was, like puts a tarp in there. And Bill Clinton and two bikini-clad models, and one of them has Hillary's head photoshopped on top.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it's that same, like, the top of the White House is a ramshackle, you know, little house from the Ozarks with Secret Service guys hiding in the bushes and cows scattered around.
Thanks,
like,
Obama.
It's like, wow, 1994, we were morons.
Yeah, there was something else that got posted from 1994. It was like, I want to say it was an ad. It was basically a PC Master Race ad.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
like, there's people who play games on consoles and people who have seen boobs.
Right. Yes, that's what it was, and that I'm pretty sure that was from 1994 exactly. When that was, this is awful. Just hilarious.
The sad part is in 1994, you had to either use Windows 3.1 to launch your DOS game or type in like this massive command line.
Oh my god, I played so much with the drum beat maker in Windows 3.1.
CMD boobs.
Insert 5 floppy disks to install it.
You don't want the floppy ones. They're the worst kind.
Dun, dun, ba, da.
So, Star Fox.
Yeah, Star Fox.
So one of the reasons I kind of got Star Fox stuck in my head was, I mentioned this at the end of last podcast, but our daughter started looking at all this Nintendo stuff, and she picked up on Star Fox, and he's like this iconic Nintendo character, but he's really only had one legitimately very good game, and that was Star Fox 64. Like, the original Star Fox was good, but it was mostly a gimmick.
It was a marvel for its time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially when you consider that, like, it was made by an American, which was within Nintendo, which is kind of unheard of at the time.
Well, I thought they were British. Argonaut Software?
Oh, maybe. Dylan Cuthbert, I thought he was American, but maybe he's British.
But they farmed out, like, half of the game because they didn't know how to do the 3D stuff inside of Nintendo. But
right.
It's like, that doesn't hold up as well, but it's still a playable, okay game. But Star Fox 64 legitimately holds up as a good game. But Star Fox Adventures and Star Fox Assault don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because after.
Assault was the DS one, right?
Yes.
No.
No, Assault was the GameCube one. DS one was Command.
Oh, Command. That's right. Yeah.
Which was actually made by the people who made the original Star Fox game.
Yeah.
What was terrible.
So I think one of the things, like, you look at Star Fox and that's such a product of its time now, and the reason every Star Fox game after that has been terrible is because they rightly or wrongly, and probably rightly, realize that you can't really sell a shooter that's an hour long anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make it a full price game.
You can't make it a full price game, but I'm starting to think that Nintendo's got to pick up this idea of shorter games and maybe spend less time with them in development. Like,
I don't know. Like, Star Fox is one of those games where if they skimp on certain aspects, like, it would be a pretty boring game if it were a lot uglier. Like, if you took the standard of Star Fox, or standard of the graphics today, it made Star Fox look a lot worse than that. Like, you didn't put that much money into art assets or, you know, things like that, then I think people would probably look down upon that game.
They might, but I also think that the amount of art you'd need for a one-hour game is probably not all that expensive to produce.
See, that's the problem that Sega's having with Sonic, is because they spend all that time and money making those art assets, and then they have to pack those games with filler.
Yeah.
Like, Sonic Generations is an extremely good example of that. Like, you can stop and look at individual road signs and they're all like Sonic jokes and puns, but like, no one's ever going to see that unless they do stop and look at individual road signs.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I know that Star Fox 64 is an hour long if you just want to play it once, but the way it handles the different difficulties by having branching paths is a good concept, and that works well.
Yeah, it's a high score game. It just high score games were more accepted in 1996 than they were now.
I don't think they have to be as taboo as all of that. I think that maybe you can't charge $60 for it, but I think you can. I think you could charge like $20 to $30 for it, and also find a way to make that work economically.
I feel like that's getting too high up there.
Really, I'd buy a new.
I mean,
you and I might,
but like most people would not, and most people who are the ones that are like, they were looking at games like Star Fox Assault and stuff like that, and just going, "Yeah, that's not."
The sad part is, what I hate most about Star Fox Assault is how fucking long it is. It never fucking ends, and most of the time is spent in those stupid walking missions.
Yeah, because they needed to pad that game out. The actual shooting parts are pretty decent. Like that first level, I actually really liked.
Yeah.
Like that jungle planet thing?
And the one where they attack Violet and General Pepper gets captured. That's a really good level until you have to like ride on the wing of a R-Wing and shoot at,
like,
things with your handgun.
How can they make this rail shooter even more raily?
Yeah.
But that's the poor legacy of Star Fox. Let's talk about the better part of it.
Well, I mean, in usual Nintendo game fashion, all feels very, very tight and solid, and which of course helps. Well, I guess isn't necessarily that hard to do with this sort of game. I mean, there's only so much movement you can do, but still, I mean, it all feels very tight, and it has kind of, you know, the weird kind of exploratory secrets that you can try to find out and figure out, and certain things you have to do to, you know, take a different path or do a certain thing.
I was thinking when I was playing the game that I kind of cheated myself as a kid by like reading all that stuff in Nintendo Power. Like, if you need to get to the second path, you need to save Falco and then do this. And like, it would have been so much cooler if I just discovered that on my own or somebody told me. I'm like, no, that's such bullshit. There's no way that works.
Right. Yeah. So I very much appreciate it. And that stuff still kind of stands true and stands the test of time, I guess. I mean, you don't see a lot of that stuff so much these days. I mean, there's like, you know, there's Spelunky. I don't know. Maybe there's some other stuff, but stuff like this with just kind of weird secrets that kind of happen are kind of few and far between. I mean, even in, you know, I'm trying to think if Half-Life had any like little Easter eggs and stuff. I don't know. It was just, I guess it's a different kind of secret thing. If that makes
they're
any
not
sense.
All secrets in Star Fox.
No.
Like, there's the... If you don't kill one of the bosses fast enough, Slippy tries to dive in front of you and take care of it himself and gets knocked into some world where you have to go rescue him.
Yeah. And that's...
The next time through, maybe you'll realize you have to beat that boss before Slippy becomes a moron.
Right.
And then you can go to the other level.
Right, and that stuff is pretty neat. I mean, it's a certain amount of, well, not really choice, but cause and effect in a seemingly innocent game, which is really interesting. I think it's an interesting combination of, you know, kind of these. It's freaking Slippy, and there's a frog, and there's an eagle, and there's a fox head guy. But you didn't kill the boss fast enough, and now Slippy is.
More often than not, they'll tell you, like, it's pretty obvious how you get from one place to another. But, like, the only one I could think of that was, like, really dumb was you have to find all the secret portals in the meteor or the asteroid belt. And then from, like, you need to get all of them on one run, and they speed you up like crazy.
Yeah,
and then from there you can shortcut to, where was it? Somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Yeah. I don't think I've ever done it.
Yeah.
I'd that was my preferred route for a while for high schooler.
Yeah, I mean, there's still that thrill, and I guess to compare it to something like Spelunky and kind of discovering the secret objective or doing the secret thing that takes you on a different path. I mean, you know, you kind of see that the map in the overview, and then there's a branching path, and you discovered it, and there's it makes you feel good for having done that, which is cool.
Except for that time that, like, it took me to that I hate the water planet so much.
Oh, that stupid fucking submarine. The hardest... Okay, so I haven't played that on the 3DS yet. But on the N64, that may as well be a blindfold level.
Yeah.
You can't see a goddamn thing. And things tend to attack you from off-screen on that level anyway.
And it runs at, like, 15 frames a second. Which, N64 games, so... All of them do. But it's, like... Apparently... I guess that's the way they balanced out the fact that you have infinite missiles, or they use infinite missiles to balance that out. Just you
but
have
the missiles don't do anything. Like
they
the
shoot
laser
things.
Is well, then that well the missiles do almost no damage, and the lasers do absolutely no damage. It's just I couldn't believe how ineffective everything I did on that level was.
It is kind of I did like the boss of that level though, the big bioweapon thing.
Yeah,
like that's a cool boss, and that was.
Big bosses
graphically
are fun.
I think it's hilarious that, like, you see Star Fox taking all these detours on the way to, you know, on the way to Andross. I'm like, yeah, you could just end this war. Just go straight.
Oh, yeah.
Stop going left and right, all right? You just
well,
straight.
I love that the dialogue always makes it sound like this was part of the plan, except you have to rescue Slippy. Like, General Pepper's like, you're going through the sun? That's crazy. He's like, that's the only way. Well, it's not the only way. If I had chosen the easy way, we could have, like, not done this.
While you're on the way, destroy this base to cripple the enemy.
Andross has a base in the sun?
In the sun?
Yeah. No.
Why don't you just drive around that armada? It's like, nah, it's cool. We'll just bust through it. It's fine. That's actually my favorite level in that game. The Sector Z, I think? Or Sector Y? Where it's just you just going straight through and there's like 100 enemies in your way.
Oh, is that the one where you have to? Oh,
it's the one right before Andross is the.
Oh, Andross the really hard branching path. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time I played that. Probably sometime in the 90s.
That's definitely my favorite one. Like, I didn't get very far in this game when replaying on a 3DS. Well, I beat the game, but I didn't beat it my preferred path.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't remember how I controlled that game, like. Nowadays, I invert all my flight stuff, but I don't think I did when I was playing it in 1997.
Oh, it's inverted by default.
Okay, so I, like, just every control scheme I use just felt unnatural for some reason.
It's the thumbstick. The N64 thumbstick has this huge range of motion and a ton of resistance. Like, so it just doesn't feel quite right on the 3DS.
When did the first Star Fox come out? The first Star Fox game?
I want to say that was 94.
When did the first
was
Star
it?
Wars
no.
movie come out?
In the 77?
Well, I'm just trying to think if the creation of Star Fox was inspired by anything.
I mean, even Star Fox 64 had, like, an Independence Day reference.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy to think about.
I love
I guess that's right, yeah.
Oh, 93. Yeah. Was the original Star Fox. That's
it was before Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
I mean, and there were still several FX and FX2 games that came after it. But a lot of what they did with Star Fox was inspired by Virtua Racing. They just had to have a polygon-based game. And then when they realized they weren't going to be able to generate enough polygons to actually draw a racetrack, you know, it was like, well, if we just make the ground a flat green area, what can we do?
Yeah. Well, it's because, I mean, it's particularly in that Sector Y. I looked up a video because I didn't get to it when I was playing it this most recent time. But that level definitely feels like super Star Wars, because it even has like the thing where you go into the little, you know, rivet or ditch in the ship channel. I don't know what you call it, whatever.
The trench.
The trench. Thank you, trench. That's a good word.
Well, that's what I use.
It feels very much like that. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the origins.
Star Fox origins. Star Fox was a better Star Wars game than any of the Star Wars games on the N64.
Yeah, did Pod Racer come out on the N64?
It did.
Yep. Do you count that as a Star Wars game? Because that was a really fun game.
So did you know there was a sequel to Pod Racer?
I did.
I found it at Goodwill the other day. My brother bought a copy. Like, neither of us had ever heard of the game.
What system? Where?
PS2.
It came out for PS2?
That's sad.
I don't think it came out on PC, because I probably would have picked it. Because that's where I played the first one, on computer.
We had to wiki the game on our phones, because neither of us like, is this real?
You get home and it's like some crazy Hong Kong bootleg. Yeah. Anakin's replaced with, like, I don't know, some sort of alien. I was like, trying to come up with something ridiculous. I'm like, no, that whole goddamn movie was more ridiculous than my imagination.
I feel like, for reasons I can't remember or can't explain, in the mid-90s, it was like this weird resurgence of Star Wars stuff.
Well,
like, popularity. Like, that thing became, like, big again right around then.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the one, probably one of my favorite things, at least like one of the things that makes me the most peppy, is when like one of you're kind of flying solo and doing your own thing, and then like one of your teammates flies in and is like, oh, I'll help out.
Like, and then they get chased by another ship and like, oh god, help me.
It feels like Voltron, you know. I mean, you know, with between like, you know, the different characters and their suits, you know, walking down the hallway going into their ships and stuff, and you know, one of your teammates, I don't know, it's very much appeals to my childhood side, my childlike side, which is most of me, really.
There was this weird thing where Bill dies, and then in the next mission, like, you take a certain path, and then I can't remember if he's there when you die, or he dies or not. But either way, he sends you to, like, some magical, like, crazy space graveyard dimension.
That I've never seen.
Oh, man. One of the bosses in Sector Y says, you cocky little freaks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You cocky little freaks.
Cocky little freaks.
He says it a lot.
Yeah, I just know that. And just, yeah, so I've just kind of got this video on in the background. But anyways, yeah, what, graveyard, weird, what?
Yeah, I mean, I never understood exactly what that was about. Just, he just sort of, I think either way, yeah, he, because Fox says, Bill, you're alive.
If Golden's alive?
He comes and joins you there. So he helps you break down, like, these magical barriers, and then you go to a space dimension that puts you on a shortcut, but it's like all this weird kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Multicolor background?
Oh, I don't.
Nidhogg?
Yes. It's like Nidhogg in the cloud level.
I don't know. Right? I've never seen that.
That's weird.
I'll look up a video later, but that's the first thing I was like, huh, I wonder what that's about, and then never actually explain it.
Yeah.
This is better than the slot machine.
Oh my gosh.
That was the SNES game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the slot machine, by the way, is kind of like one of those developer jokes that they made. The problem is that once you reach it, you can play slots forever or reset your game. Because that's it. It doesn't take you anywhere. It takes you to the slot machine. And it's supposed to be like this ridiculous long Easter egg, and you're supposed to get a chuckle out of it when you finally find it. The problem is they didn't allow you to continue your game from there. So if you happened upon it by mistake, you're just sitting there like shooting this slot machine with no idea what to do forever.
That's one way to increase playtime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's still, I think it still stands up.
Yeah. So I kind of wish that Nintendo would introduce an actual, like, N64 mode for all of their emulated N64 games, where it's, like, actually rendered at 320 by 240 with anti-aliasing. It's just one of those things where it's, like, there's this softness to N64 games, and the ones made by Nintendo, it actually, it looks good. You know, a lot of other developers couldn't figure out how to get it to look okay.
Are there any Star Fox games in the works right now?
None that we know of.
That we know of, right.
Yeah, they've started announcing games much later now.
And the most recent one was...
Was the Namco one. And the one before that was the Rare one.
Command was the most...
Command is the most recent, okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess Star Fox 64, because they really did improve that a lot.
Yeah, the 3DS game was definitely... Like, it's a pretty good remake. Better set than Ocarina of Time was, I think.
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time was really good. Both of those remakes...
Well, Ocarina of Time was more accurate, but it was less of a remake.
Yeah, you put them side by side with the originals, like, and you'll see that there's a huge amount of work that went into both of those games.
The 3DS game had all the dialogue re-recorded, which my friends were very anti that.
I thought they just went back to, like, the original tapes or something.
No, they brought in all the old voice cast and re-recorded the dialogue.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, but some line deliveries are a little different now, and I guess that messes with people's nostalgia.
Oh, no. So what would be your guys' ideal evolution? If Nintendo were to make a new Star Fox game for, I don't know, 3DS or Wii U, I mean, same formula, exactly the same, kind of, you know, single screen, and then maybe the boss battle, you have a little bit more free roaming, or...
I think the successor to Star Fox 64 was Sin and Punishment 2. Because that's basically...
You know, I always see you and other guys talking about that, and I should actually maybe try to find a way to play that.
It's a linear rail shooter, and it's really long.
Oh, Punishment 2 is on the Wii. You can just get it for your Wii U.
All right, maybe I'll do that.
It's very good.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's what I keep hearing, and I don't know why I've never...
It is, without hyperbole, my favorite third-person shooter.
Snap.
Everyone who's listening should get it, too.
Yeah, everyone who doesn't have a copy of Sin and Punishment 2 should get it. And if you don't have it came out for Virtual Console, right?
Sin and Punishment 1? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if it's still available. I assume it is.
Yeah, it was extra money because it was an import.
Right, but it's all in English, so.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that game is, the menus are in Japanese, but all of the dialogue is in English because... I guess they expected to bring it to the U.S. at some point, right?
I can't remember if I think the N64 was dying at the time, and they were trying to move all ahead on GameCube, so they decided, whatever, this isn't going to sell. Just leave it there.
And it's too bad, because it's probably the most impressive game of the N64.
Yeah. It makes zero sense. Incident Punishment 2 makes even less sense.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't. Do you ever get the secret ending of Incident Punishment 2?
Oh, I only got one ending. I didn't go back and play it again because it is kind of a long game.
Yeah, it's a fairly long game. At least 7 hours. Yeah. If you get, like, the secret ending is just one character just turns to the side, like, by the way, I'm that person from the first game. And then it just ends.
Well, so anyway, so back to the question. I mean, same formula, just kind of new things? I don't know.
If Nintendo was going to be working on a new Star Fox game, I would want them to keep the Star Fox 64 formula.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't try to add, or even the Star Fox 64 formula, minus that stupid fucking submarine.
Okay.
The tank was fine.
The submarine kind of worked. Yeah.
I think the tank was a good change of pace. Like, more than two levels of that would have been bad.
Well, yeah, there's only one tank level per branch, right? Yeah. Like, there's no way to get a branch that has both tank
levels. Can't do the desert and the train.
Yeah.
The train, by the way, is, like, awesome. That's such a cool concept for that.
Well, that's the thing. The tank levels work because they're still kind of quick. And it's always that forward motion. And that's why Star Fox Assault didn't work, because you had, like, these free-roaming tank levels. You had no idea where to go, and the camera didn't work.
Right. It didn't change the mechanics of the game so dramatically that you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. But keep that formula. That formula was good. And it's... The game is only an hour long each playthrough, but you'll easily get at least 3 or 4 playthroughs out of
it. I mean the branching paths is kind of the main appeal. Well, I mean, one of the big appeals. But I'd totally be happy with just like a you know, updated graphics, you know, new levels, new whatever, but kind of same mechanically.
I kind of wonder if they were going that direction at one point and just stopped, because there's an interview with Dylan Cuthbert after Star Fox Command came out. They asked him, okay, so what are you doing? Are you guys making the next Star Fox? Is there going to be a next Star Fox? He said, they haven't said anything to me yet, but if they do, I want it to be on rails again.
Yeah,
because cool. He feels it's time to go back to that.
Interesting.
And if I wonder if he pitched that and they didn't go for it, or they couldn't find a way to make it work economically, or
yeah,
I imagine farming it all out to Namco was mostly based on money, right?
Yeah, and it, like, that was the Ace Combat team, like they had experience in that sort of thing, and I guess Ace Combat. I would not want a Star Fox that plays like Ace Combat. I think that would be a terrible thing.
I wonder if farming it all out to Namco had anything to do with Triforce. Remember that? The
arcade
initiative with Sega, Nintendo, and Namco?
I think Sega could have made a pretty good Star Fox.
Yeah, they probably could have. I mean, they did a hell of a job with F-Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was basically, like, they took their Super Monkey Ball knowledge and applied it to that game.
Wait, have you guys seen, oh god, what is it? Is it Strike Factor? It's a game that just dropped on Steam recently that I've been following. I think it was a Kickstarter. It's kind of 3D. I'm fairly sure it's like deathmatch combat, but like control wise and visually it looks really nice. And
is it Strike Vector?
I think it is Strike Vector. I'm trying to find out right now. You know, I want to say it came out like a week ago, but of course there's like 40 new games on, you know, on Steam's page right there. Yes, Strike Vector. Yeah, that game looks pretty fun. I think I might have to grab that maybe when it next goes on sale. If we can get some people together for multiplayer, because that would be pretty fun.
Most of these quotes are not English. That makes me suspicious.
On Strike Vector's Strike Vector et la petite bombe indépendante sans protection que l'on envoie. Yeah, Poik is going to kill me for that. Sorry, Jeremy. Anyways, so, but yeah, did you guys watch that Shadows of Lilac video I sent you? Watch it when you get a chance. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what Shadows of Lilac was. It was a PC, you know, super nice visually graphics and the same kind of Star Fox 64 mechanics. So,
you know what
know.
Never gets explained? How Andross, a scientist that, you know, he has an army, whatever, he made them out of mutants, is just a giant brain with like a fake face. What's the fake face for? Is he trying... Is he trying to like look nice for Fox the Cloud?
He doesn't want to scare people.
In the original, the thing that they said he could do was telekinesis. So it was never implied that Andross was actually a floating brain or anything. The idea was that he was controlling all of those, well, polygons to attack you. And so like you never actually destroy Andross, you just destroy his base.
Huh.
And then in the second one, it's like, oh, here's his head. Oh, psych, it was a robot, and it's just his brain. It's like, what?
And you were dreaming the whole time.
Yeah, and then the ghost of your father is going to help you escape, but not very well.
Even when I was like 12 or 13 or however old I was when that game came out, like the second you see the brain and he says, only I have the brains to rule Lylat, I groaned audibly.
God. Oh,
really,
man.
Puns? Not even good puns.
If they do bring back Star Fox, they need to like go whole hog on like the puns.
Yeah, I agree.
Like it's not good enough to have a Pygma Dengar talk about how Fox's father squealed like a piggy. Like no, that's not good enough. You got to do like
what
10
if, what
puns.
What if Fox's father was actually a pig?
Well, Pygma Dengar is a pig.
Oh.
He's the one saying it.
Well, that's just.
And there's Andrew, which is Andross's nephew.
Yeah,
and I guess he like
Andross.
I want to play as that kid. I want a game where you play as that kid.
He's the villain in Star Fox Assault, at least for the first level or two.
Yeah,
it's weird.
And he's a disembodied head at that point too, right?
Maybe it's like a family thing.
Yeah,
it's just a family thing.
I'll tell you though that may be a 1 hour game each playthrough, but I have so much of that dialogue memorized.
Yeah, like I could, if
The dialogue.
If I had to sit down and write down like the entire dialogue for the entire script for Star Fox 64, I could probably manage it after a little while.
It's horrible.
G diffusers.
Like, oh God! But it's because we've played it so many times, and I think that that's one of those things that everybody's trying to avoid now. But it's not such a bad thing. It's not such a bad game mechanic that you would have a game that's not very long and then expect people to do multiple playthroughs.
Yeah.
To an extent, I could actually see if they tried to make like an infinite flyer out of Star Fox.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like that the levels are really tightly designed.
You mean when
they
Nintendo
are,
starts,
but...
when Nintendo starts putting out iOS games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Only a matter of time.
Flappy Fox.
Foxy Bird.
Flappy Fox.
Actually, that sounds weird.
It does. Foxy Bird does sound a little weird.
Starry Fox.
Flappy Fox. Make it happen. But yeah, so it's a good game. If you have not played it, play this Star Fox game. If you like sci-fi, cool visuals, and shooty stuff, you should play this game.
Yeah. You should pay for the game, but it is perfectly emulated. Just, you know, in case you're dirt poor.
I'm pretty sure that it's also available on the Wii Virtual Console, and by extension, the Wii U Virtual Console.
Of course, you should only emulate if you actually own a copy.
Well, otherwise, the police will come, and they will check to make sure. That's what I thought how it worked
Fox
before.
Police.
Like, if they had suspicions you were emulating games, that they'd come and make sure you have the cart, and they couldn't do anything about it.
In reality, no, they'd never check, but even if they did and you had the cart, you would still be breaking the law.
Yeah.
Just buy a bunch of copies of some, like... I don't know, really cheap, shitty game and print out your own labels. It's like, yeah, I own this game. He pops it in and it's like,
It just doesn't work. Joe, I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
Take a hammer to the actual cartridge internals. Oh, it just stopped working,
well,
so I downloaded a copy.
The cop picks it up and just goes...
I've been getting...
Damn it!
I've been getting better at that all week.
I bet.
Oh, God. Kind of wish I didn't, though. Fucking Excitebike.
Yeah.
Excitebike 64?
Is god-awful.
Really? I love that game.
That game is terrible.
I remember really enjoying it.
May as well not do anything at all.
Well, that sounds like Excitebike, though.
Yeah, that's. I don't like Excitebike on the NES.
Man, do you guys remember Excite Truck?
Yes!
Do you remember Excite Bots?
Sort of.
Was that...
It was a sequel to Excite Truck.
Right. No, I never played that.
Except with, like, transforming robots.
Yeah. It's basically the exact same thing, but everything's crazy and nonsensical.
Right. There was, like, a round robot thing, maybe. I don't know. I remember seeing video of it, but I never played. Oh, no. Oh, no, I did play this. I didn't get a friend's. Right. There's the crazy ladybug thing.
Yeah. And a praying mantis, and you can throw pies at people.
What a weird game. It was, like, the exact same game, but with robots. All right. Let's take a
break.
I'm Wei Shen, motherfucker. And we're back.
Hi, Wei Shen. How are you?
Flappy Dog. Somebody had actually made a Flappy Doge.
They did. Doge.
Yeah, Doge. Fucking Flappy Bird.
Yeah, so the creator decided to bow out and take the thing off the App Store because it was ruining his life.
I just don't get it. I don't understand how Flappy Bird has become such a thing.
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of like he put it up as a lark and now it's...
Yeah, it was like a project for him. He made it in like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And became this massive, massive thing that he has no ability to tech support for.
And people are like threatening him and
yeah.
If it were I would probably be like, yeah, I have fuck you money now, so
right.
Fuck you.
Well, I think a lot of people want their money back because it's fucking impossible.
There's no money for it. It's free.
Is it?
Well, no, they're in-app purchases, I believe. Okay. So, like, you know, if you buy three more lives if you want to continue this run. Essentially, pay to win.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's dumb. People shouldn't spend their money on that.
Yeah, don't do that. It's so weird. I don't know. It's kind of one of the cases. It was in a weird place in the right time, and it just kind of blew up, and It's so weird. It's so weird. And now there are people like selling it in, you know, their iPhones with Flappy Bird installed because it's pulled now for like $90,000 on eBay.
So I'm convinced that the way that these things become runaway successes is that a celebrity plays it and tweets about it.
That's possible.
Like a couple of celebrity friends are all playing about it and tweet about it.
Yeah.
Or like some reporter starts playing it and then they report on it as the hot new trend because they're playing it.
Right.
This is one of the things that I've become really jaded about, and maybe my jaded view of this doesn't match up with reality, but I feel like if something gets popular among reporters, it gets declared the big new thing, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But there's no inherent reason why that should have taken off and it wasn't already popular on its own. It's just that the reporters, like a couple reporters, start liking a thing, so they will go out of their way to make sure that it becomes successful.
I mean, it's just an infinite runner. That's
not very good.
Well, you tap to get a rhythm and then you go through. And most people aren't going to get very far. And I saw people going like, well, how doesn't Flappy Bird disprove the idea that casuals don't like difficulty? And it's like, it's not like they're trying to get to an end point. They're trying to maybe get to six. If they don't get to six, then whatever. It's not a big deal.
But casuals don't like games that you have to sit there for like 2 hours to get to the part where you're really playing the actual game. Like nobody, they don't like things that have a large learning curve.
Did you guys read the piece that Matty Bryce wrote on it?
No.
Matty Bryce is a games critic who's kind of self-funded, I guess. People, you know, she has I forget the name of the site, some sort of funding site, you know, and she makes, you know, a certain amount per article, but she's basically crowdfunding her games criticism since she's not working at a games journalism place or whatever. But so she wrote an article called Our Flappy Dystopia, which is actually really good. She kind of talks about the creator, and she kind of hits the nail on the head that the reason it became kind of the focus of Iron Slander is because it had Mario pipes in it, quote unquote. And I think that was one of the reasons that it just kind of went, the hubbub and chat and fizzle about it went so high, is because it had pipes in it.
I mean, it did pretty blatantly reuse assets.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean,
I'm pretty sure the bird is stolen from somewhere else. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
It looks like a cheap, but the eyes made way bigger,
I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, on one hand, if Zynga did that, it would be really shitty. But if it's just a guy in Vietnam, then.
Yeah, if it's, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, you hear about a single developer who makes a game that takes off unexpectedly, and then you find out they reuse some art assets. It's like, well, I can kind of see that. That's not so egregious. I mean, we're talking about pipes here. Pipes are still going to look like pipes.
Yeah.
It's not like he stole a character with an identity.
No. There's not like the mushroom or the Starman.
Well, and even the pipes are like, I don't think he just like copied and pasted the Mario pipe actually. I mean, it's, you know, it's something he had to actually, I think, draw by hand or sprite or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong, but they don't look exactly the same. They definitely look like, you know, they're just kind of made by him.
I mean, the guy made money, and regardless of whether or not Flappy Bird is good or not, or deserved its popularity or not, and the reaction to him taking it down was like the worst thing I've seen.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to be honest, I don't think he would have gotten the same reaction if he were like named Jon Snow and living in California.
That's like possible.
If he were a white guy and living in America.
Yeah. Which is shitty.
Also, how did he get the Twitter handle Dongator and you didn't, Brian?
What is it?
It's Dongatory.
Dongatory?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, because the Dong Police? I don't know. Hopefully nobody has the Dong Police Twitter handle. I should probably register that just in case.
Need to flee Twitter.
Yeah.
Have you seen the thing going around where Donald Glover had done dong something.
Lover. Yeah, yeah. Dong Lover.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. It's like, how did I not know my name was Dong Lover my whole life? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been a source of a lot of hilarity. I think there's like a big Flappy Bird game jam that's going on, or maybe has already happened. I know Terry Kavanaugh made, you know, a Flappy Bird tribute game in his typical psychedelic fashion, which is actually really good. But
yeah, I feel like there's no need to get angry over Angry Bird.
No, it's not really. It's weird.
I mean, just be the guy who does the next big thing.
Dungeon Keeper, on the other hand, is something I think you can get legitimately fucked off about.
Yeah.
Before we move off of Flappy Bird, though, I just want to say, I'm kind of glad that this guy is going to be rich.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
He has more than enough money to live comfortably the rest of his life in Vietnam.
I hope so.
Or even in the U.S. probably.
Yeah.
A couple billion downloads, right?
We should invite him onto the podcast.
So,
just confusing.
Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah, Dungeon Keeper for iOS. Dungeon Keeper, classic PC game, now on mobile.
What if you had Dungeon Keeper, but to upgrade anything, you needed certain materials, but you don't have the capacity to carry those materials unless you pay more money, or you spend 24 hours just mining. So you'd rate that pretty poorly, right? Like, if it asked you what you would rate that game,
I would probably rate it a 2 at most.
Okay, but you can't, because if you try to rate it below 5, it does not send you to the actual store page. It'll just ask you what's wrong and then leave it at that.
Right, it directs you to a form or something.
Yes.
That's incredibly shitty. I hadn't heard that.
You can either rate it 1 to 4 or 5 stars. If you click 5 stars, it takes you to the Google Play or, you know, whatever, the rating page. And I think once you're actually there, you still have to actually, you know, pick how many stars you want to rate it. But if you click 1 to 4, the two options, 1 to 4 or 5, if you hit 1 to 4, then it's like, hey, what's wrong? Tell us. We'll fix
it. Hey there, Gloomy Gus.
Have some free coins.
What makes it hilarious is that they specifically called out how many 5-star ratings it got in an interview. Like, yeah, people love this game. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Guys, we should make a game, and I don't care what the game is. It'll have a rate button, and if you rate it anything less than 5 stars, it deletes your save.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that free-to-play model so much. I mean, I'm looking at a screenshot right now with the Dungeon Keeper guy, the Devil guy, the Horn guy saying, occasionally, tasks may test your patience, but who says money can't buy time? I have quite the polarizing solution to make that timer disappear. It's just fucking shameless.
Oh, did you hear what they did to Plants vs. Zombies 2?
Plants vs. Zombies 2?
Yes, they...
Did they,
you know what,
re-ruin it?
Yes. So, you know how you guys have played Plants vs. Zombies before, right?
Nope.
Okay, yes. So when you get to the end of a lane or a zombie gets to the end of a lane, like a lawnmower comes and like they clear out that line, and if the zombie comes past there now, like it's unguarded, so they can just go right past. So what they did, like in previous games and previous versions of Plants vs. Zombies 2, lawnmowers would of course respawn, because why wouldn't they? And now they've made it so they don't respawn unless you pay money to get new ones, and they've added a boss fight to the end of every world, so you're almost guaranteed to lose a lawnmower. So I kind of want to retroactively go back and make, like, I know we made it a bigger thing, like freemium mechanics and games, like, no, like, just make a plan for Zombies 2, that's the shame of the year.
Yeah, so I've been playing Joe Danger Infinity on iOS, which is paid for, it's 99 cents, but and it, I guess it has, you know, it has some sort of in-game currency mechanic type thing, but this is it's not done badly, I'll say that much. Like you have access to, I don't know, probably 85% of the levels. Some levels want you to have a certain vehicle, which you can buy with the in-game currency, which you can earn in-game or through, you know, buying gold or whatever. But it's unintrusive. It doesn't affect, you know, the way I'm playing the game. Like, it's not going to halt me in the middle of a Joe Danger race where I'm tapping. and say, oh, you can't do anything else. Like, I can play as much as I want. And it's unobtrusive. And these other ones, like Plants vs. Zombies or Dungeon Keeper, it's just right fucking there. It's right fucking there. And the same with like Tiny Tower 2, which is really popular, but it's got this thing with, like, you know, the timer mechanic, which is just,
Yeah, Dungeon Keeper has 24-hour cooldowns.
That's... Well, it's funny because I hadn't touched Joe Danger Infinity in a while, and, like, you know, I got a little notification on my phone saying, like, hey, here's 5,000 free coins. You know, spend it on a vehicle or whatever. You know, and on most of the levels, you get, like, a little token, which it's basically a slot machine, and it lets you pull the lever, and you can unlock, like, a character that maybe you would have had to spend 60,000 coins on, but, you know, you get it for free just by random, or you'll get, like, 1,000 or 2,000 coins just by random. So
I believe that's how Puzzles and Dragons works, and that's really popular.
Yeah.
Not here, but elsewhere.
I can't speak to that. I haven't played that, but this doesn't feel gross. This doesn't feel shady. This doesn't feel grody. Joe Dander Infinity, that it is. Where these other ones just shouldn't affect me, but it pisses me off. It's just I feel bad. I hate anybody who's supporting that kind of model.
So leap of topic, but Amazon bought Double Helix.
Who's Double Helix?
They made Strider, Silent Hill Homecoming, Killer Instinct, probably other stuff.
And that's a big, huge monkey wrench, because Killer Instinct isn't technically done yet, is it?
Yeah. Microsoft said they're going to find a new studio a new partner, quote-unquote, to finish it.
That's kind of amazing.
I feel like this whole thing just caught everyone off guard, because Strider was always supposed to come out sometime this month, or not sometime this quarter.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like, they announce a date that's in 2 weeks, and then that day after, Double Helix announced they're being purchased by Amazon, which makes me think, like, hey, holy shit, we got to get rid of this thing, or we got to put this game out.
Guys, we're gonna just skip the playtesting part.
Like, what if happens to that game is, like, really broken? Who's gonna patch it?
Mark.
Capcom sure won't. And they're not going to pay to get another developer to get refamiliarize themselves with that game.
Right.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they were able to do this without just kind of ending up owing Capcom and Microsoft a shitload of money. Like, I mean, how is this not some, like, massive breach of their own existing contracts?
Maybe what? Amazon bought them out somehow.
Well, I was going to say, past that, I mean, I feel like it's a, I don't know, a weird purchase for Amazon. Like, this isn't exactly, you know, a super popular developer.
Yeah.
So
what I think happened is when Double Helix started working on Killer Instinct, a lot of people said, like, wow, Double Helix is a lot better than they used to be. And Strider's apparently getting pretty glowing previews.
Yeah.
I think that when they got those two big projects, they were able to hire some really talented people or a lot more people. But their actual, like, since neither of these projects really got a lot of notice, their cost didn't go up that much. So Amazon was able to hire them when they got better, but without them costing more.
Right. It was a case of a good deal. But I mean, is this the first time Amazon's done something like this? I mean, bought like a game. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. This, like, there's been rumors that they're planning a $300 Android based console.
Hmm.
And it's like, this is a pretty good indication they're moving in that direction.
It seems like a weird thing to do when they already have Kindle Fire.
I mean, I assume this would be like the Kindle console or whatever.
Yeah, why not just release a controller for the Kindle?
So according to leaks or rumors or whoever, like, first said, you know, this is, like, what they're doing, is they wanted to compete with Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
That's stupid.
I just, who knows?
That's working out really well for Ouya.
And, well, they're already making, like, a better, a better stab at it than the Ouya did.
Well, yeah, they're already making a better Android device than Ouya will ever make.
Did you see they released a revision to the Ouya? Or they're releasing one soon?
Yeah,
it's no different internally, but the controller doesn't suck, supposedly.
I think it's got more storage.
Yeah.
Does it have more games?
And the Wi-Fi is fixed. No, it actually has less games because it lost the two big exclusives it had. Awesome. One of which is Towerfall, the other one was I can't remember. Was it Joust? Johann Sebastian Joust?
Probably not, I would say.
I forgot who, like, there was some other big exclusive it had, but now it's being moved to PC.
Amazing Frog?
Maybe. That might be it.
I want to see Amazing Frog on, well, actually, and we might get that with Goat Simulator.
Yeah. Did you see that trailer today?
I did. That trailer was fucking amazing.
I fear that the joke is going to run out fast on that one.
Like what joke?
Like the joke's like, haha, this is a goat simulator. It's like when you're advertising, like, look at the crazy bugs we have in our game. Like, I'm guessing it's just like, this. We made this in a few weekends, and now we're charging money for it.
Right. I don't know. I really don't. I just think it looks hilarious, and I'm fine with that. I mean, you know, I played, you know, Pain on PSN, and I don't know. An Amazing Frog to me looks amazing. Just ridiculous frog. Something that you can play. Amazing. What did I say?
You said Amazing Frog, and I added Frog.
Oh, Amazing Frog? Because I think it's a question. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're charging for it. What, like $9, $10? Yeah.
Maybe too expensive to spend on a joke.
It came out as a joke, and then, you know, they're like, oh fuck, people actually really do want this. All right, I guess we should put together a trailer and maybe release it. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. All right, so what have you been playing, Brian?
Starbound, more Starbound, a good amount of Starbound, a little bit more Starbound.
Okay.
I've also been playing some Minecraft. Went back on the unofficial rock paper shotgun server, which is what I've been playing on for a while, and I kind of, you know, go on and back and forth, and so
you're kind of honing in on a certain kind of game there.
Yeah, I am. I don't know. I'm just every time I sit down and like look at my Steam library, the things I have installed, I'm like, I should probably start playing a single player game. I don't quite have the for it right now. Right now I'm just kind of, I need something I can sit back and relax with. Yeah, I haven't been interested in kind of a focused single player experience right now. Maybe soon though. We'll see.
I'm gonna start Starbound, but I'm waiting until I finish Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's actually, I started the Knife of Dunwall, the Dishonored DLC, and
that's the one where you play as the assassin guy, right?
Yes, yeah, as Dowd. So, but I guess things have happened, and like I've been going to bed early, just because I think I'm sick. I don't know, and so I haven't really had a chance to play more of it. So maybe I'll do that. So yeah, really not a whole lot. What about you, Dark Souls?
Yeah, Dark Souls, I ended up beating one of the hardest. Like, for the most part, I've not been having too much trouble with the end game because I'm way over leveled. But Manus, the DLC boss, took me like 20 tries.
Did you have to plug your controller into the second player slot?
No, I had to summon a wolf to help me. And then, even then, like, I had to reinforce my SS flask two more times so I got more health per swig. Then I only barely beat him completely out of SS Flask and maybe one hit away from death.
Jesus Christ.
But now that's done with, and there's still Calamite the Dragon to fight, and then I'll just move on with the rest of the game. So there's that. I started and finished Contrast.
Oh, yeah. That was a game I had my eye on since it's been on Greenlight, really. And then I know it dropped, and I haven't really heard a lot about it. How was it?
Story is pretty nice. It sort of ends really abruptly. Like, they don't really explain a whole lot about that game. Like, there's early on in the game, like, you see, oh, this is supposed to be, like, noir Paris in the 20s, and then you come to the end of a road, and it's just, like, pure space at the end of it. Like, what the hell is going on?
Like, and stars and the moon.
Yeah, and I never get any answers for that. Like, huh. I get the feeling the game was kind of rushed a little bit. Like, polish-wise, there's a whole bunch of puzzles in that game that I think I just skipped through.
Oh, yeah?
Because whenever the game doesn't know what to do with you in shadow puzzles, because you melt into a wall and puzzle on shadows.
Right.
It just moves you off somewhere, and it could just move you off to the end of the puzzle.
What?
So that's awesome.
So there will be times where I'll be like...
glaring oversight.
There was like this big observatory puzzle that I didn't know how to solve. Like, I have no idea how to even start this. So I just started jumping around, and eventually I just sort of janked my way up to the top. The game was like, all right, yeah, good, done.
Interesting.
Well, you got here, so you must have solved it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those are the triggers.
How did I solve it?
because the other character is this little girl named Dee Dee, and there would be no way for her to get up from there to where I was, and yet there she was. Because I think you're supposed to make her like a little bridge or something that she can walk over, but the game just triggered her there. But it was an interesting story.
Okay.
I think if they expounded on that a bit, it would be a lot better.
Hmm. Cool. What were you, Matt?
I've been down the Nintendo 64 memory hole.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. But, I mean, all I've been playing is like 3 or 4 different games a night, so it's kind of a bit of fun. I mean, they're short, and I'm not really playing them to get through them entirely, cool. Just to kind of refresh my memory. What I've kind of rediscovered is that the Nintendo 64 was actually pretty good at the start and got worse over time. Like, it's the only console I can think of that's like that. The launch like games...
Library-wise, or...?
Yeah, the launch games are better games than the later games. And the only people who kept up any level of quality were Nintendo, specifically. Like, everybody else kind of dropped the ball. I mean, there are a couple bright spots later on, but it's people that Nintendo contracted out to, like the people... Like, Camelot made Mario Tennis and Mario Golf.
Yeah.
And those were both really good. But, like, Excitebike is terrible. It's so fucking terrible. That's such an awful game.
Oh, man.
But,
so,
I was just thinking, like, the most recent N64 game I own is gotta be Powerpuff Girls. And it's fucking awful.
That's pretty obvious. Like,
but I mean, like, some of the last games, the last gasps of the N64 were like Aiden the Dark Chronicles or whatever it is, and that's fucking awful.
Majora's Mask was a 2000 game,
and even Majora's Mask. See, this is where I differ from everyone else. I don't think that's a very good game. Granted, it's still a Nintendo game, and it's still far better than a lot of the games that came out. But I don't think that's a very good game. I wouldn't actually classify that as a decent game.
I don't know. Saying it's not decent is probably
okay.
Like,
it's decent. It's okay. Yeah,
but like there's disagreements on quality, but I would say like it's at least competently made.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not as competently made as Ocarina of Time. Like the seams really show in that game.
I would argue that like the seams are supposed to show. Like it's supposed to be like you've played Ocarina of Time to death. Now here's a thing that plays with your expectations of it.
But so much of it looks so ugly.
Well, that's true. It's a 2004 game.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. I don't know how, but they seem to get uglier as time went on. And I don't know what that's all about.
1,000 years ago.
Yeah. I think that was this. It was them chasing trends of presentation that were bigger in the late 90s and then not having the hardware to do it.
Yeah, I could see that. A lot of the games that were based off of popular PC games at the time looked completely ridiculous on the N64.
Yeah. Right.
Hell, even PC games from that era don't hold up now.
It also gave us the Mortal Kombat versions. With the PS1 versions, they had FMVs for the endings, but they didn't do that with the N64 version for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So it's just like the character models like jiggling at each other while speaking
oh
dialogue.
My God,
it's
yes.
Amazing.
Mortal Kombat 4 was a giant fucking disaster. But Mortal Kombat Trilogy, I remember being a pretty damn good game.
I think by that point I was over Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat Trilogy was like right at the beginning of that generation. Because Mortal Kombat 3 came out on the Genesis and Super Nintendo. And Mortal Kombat Trilogy came out on the PlayStation and the N64. And the N64 version was the one to get because there were no load times. Like, there were these really terrible load times at the beginning of every match on the PlayStation.
Yeah, but we were fine with that stuff back then.
But, I don't know. It was still early in the PlayStation era, so people were kind of like, really, this is what we have to live through in fighting games now?
Is this the future?
Yeah.
Is this the future? So I want to make a real quick endorsement, actually, for an iOS game I've been playing called Threes. There's no question mark on the end. I don't know why I said it like that. It's called Threes. And it's a kind of puzzle game. You're presented with a 4x4 grid, and numbers start showing up on the board. You get ones, twos, and then threes and multiples of threes. and you have to slide them in such a way to combine them, and you know, without locking yourself out from any combinations. Like, you can only join threes with threes, sixes with sixes, with their pairs, unless it's a one or two. So it's a really good puzzle game. I highly recommend it. It might be the best iOS game next to Eliss, which also just got a re-release, Eliss Infinity. So if you have an iOS device, you owe it to yourself to check out both Eliss Infinity from Steph Therion and Threes. Both really, really, really good iOS games.
Is that your Aldred's Book Club choice?
Yes, my Aldred's Book Club is Threes. Aldred's Book Club choice. No, I'm gonna have to think on my Aldred's Book Club for a moment, and we'll announce it later.
Faster.
I can't go. All right, fine. Sonic.
Which one?
All of them. All right, we'll announce my Letters Book Club pick at a later date.
All right.
But until then, go play Threes. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.